Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
This is David.
Hi, this is Andy.
And we're here to invite you to come and reason together through the Bible. So, looks like you need your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We're looking at personal relationships. We're now in personal relationship number 6. If you go to our website, it's on the left-hand side in that blue column with the lists of all the different categories you can open up and look at, and you can print these off yourself. You can take them down, print them off, take them down to a coffee shop, go visit some friends and go over them with them, take your Bible and study them for yourself. Write on the pages, make your own notes. We all like to write. We like to write the Bible, and we're scribes. A scribe is a person that puts things to pen and paper. It's probably the easiest way to learn the Bible is to make notes. And I especially like to quote. I like to not put a lot of things in my own idea form. I like to just write the Bible. It helps me memorize the Bible. If you read the Bible, you'll remember, they say, about 10%. If you write the Bible, you'll remember at least 30%. If you pass it on and tell others, you'll remember a great deal more. A great way of memorizing is writing and especially telling others. Personal relationships in the Bible are found in little words called prepositions. They're very little. Some are just two letters. Some are three letters. One was a big four-letter word, Andy.
That's right.
Called para, beside. First off, we looked at ek, coming out of God. Eis, E-I-S, E-K is ek. Eis, E-I-S is going back into God. Dia, we came from God, but we came through his son, Jesus Christ. Dia, like diameter, D-I-A. We are to come back into God through his son, Jesus Christ. We are to be born up into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I'm from above, you're from below, you must be born up. That's pretty self-explanatory when you think about it. Some people call it being born again, and that's fine. Being born up is actually more accurate. Actually, I like it better. Apo is away from, we repent, away from dead works. In the foundations, it says that we are to repent away from dead works and have faith upon God. Jesus is the rock, and we're to stand on him. Then we went for para, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is before the cross, Jesus telling them in John 14, verse 17, that he is with you or beside you. The Holy Spirit is beside you, but he will be in you. And that's found in John 14, 17. In Acts 2, 4, in the day of Pentecost, we found out when mankind was filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit went in him. So we went through number 7, para, beside, P-A-R-A, and N-E-N, within, number 8. We're going to expound a little bit about the Holy Spirit being within us and upon us. In Romans 5:5, we're going to look there first. In Colossians 2:11, and also 1 Peter 4:8, and then we'll go on. Let's see if I have another scripture that we'll look in. Those will be the main ones we'll look at, just to go back over, and then we're going to go into some new prepositions again. Again, prepositions are words. They're very accurate words that are used by scientists and doctors today to show exact relations between things. And these show our relationship between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we've found so far. So Romans 5:5, what does that say?
Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
So the love of God has been poured out where?
In our hearts.
Okay. And poured out.
I know, like water, pour. It's poured out.
And it's not like one molecule. If something is poured,
it's just there's something more in there. It's like something pouring. Like it may take you a little bit to pour it all in there.
And it seems rather liquid, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like the river of life?
Living water, river of life.
River of life.
Yes.
Poured out in our hearts. And when the whole, and David read the last time when we got together on the last podcast, he read the scripture in Acts 2:4, where we were filled with the Holy Spirit, pleios, where we received this great multitude or bundle or many things that go together with the Holy Spirit. It was poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us.
So when it's poured until you're full. You're filled up.
And maybe to overflowing.
I've read that too.
Like an artesian well.
Yes.
So we are going to also look next at 1 Peter 4:8. So not only is the Holy Spirit within us, but before that we want to read Colossians 2:11. Somebody read Colossians 2:11 and then we'll read 1 Peter 4:8.
Colossians 2:11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
So before this happens, we'll get to this later of how this works. Before Jesus circumcises our heart, and you can find this teaching down at the bottom of the website under circumcision of the heart. Now, this happens by God, and it's of the heart. It's not the flesh. This is the New Testament circumcision it's talking about here, where God circumcises our heart to love God with our whole heart, soul, might, and strength. And he does it in Colossians 2. It talks about it, and it's called the circumcision made without hands in removing the body of the sins of the flesh to cleanse the inside of man. And then God pours his Spirit and the love of God into a new heart. He says, create in me a clean heart. And this is a brand new heart in Psalms 51. It says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Did you notice how the heart is cleansed first? You ever thought of that? The heart has to be cleansed first. Create in me a clean heart, bara. That is the first verb found in the Bible. It means to create from nothing, create anew. And guess what God does? God sends forth his Spirit in Psalms 103:40, I believe it is. He sent forth his Spirit and we are created, bara again. And this is a very special word. It's only found used about God. There's two other words for create, yatzer, like a potter making clay, and gasha, like a man building a building, like they built the temple. Those are done by God and man. This is only by God. You can look at all of them in the Bible. And how do we know that, Andy?
Well, we looked at them.
We did. Every one of them. And it's only found about God, bara, creating from nothing, and created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So God cleanses the vessel first. The vessel must be cleansed first, and then he renews the spirit within man. So we can see the Holy Spirit within a man, but how about the Holy Spirit also being upon the man? 1 Peter 4:8.
And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins.
So now this love is also a covering. Now, instead of that, we're going to substitute, instead of love being a covering, we're going to put on rose-colored glasses. Remember back to Adam and Eve before they sinned, they were both naked, but they did not shame one another. They looked at each other through rose-colored glasses. Hey, you're looking good, man. You're just perfect. You know, I don't see any fault in you, Andy. You're just absolutely perfect.
Well, you know, I was looking at you, and I didn't see any fault in you either.
Yeah, well, let me take these rose-colored glasses off. Oh, boy, I'm going to put them back on.
Ah!
I'm not going to take that journey again. And so when you're first married to your wife, what are you looking at? Everything. You're looking at them with rose-colored glasses. And the problem comes when we take them off. But in the Bible, it's called love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, how does that work? It's called rose-colored glasses. You look at a brother through the love of God. He has put this love in our heart, but it's a covering on my heart that when I look at my brother, I don't find fault.
Like putting a filter in between. Filters out the bad stuff, so all you see is the good.
Maybe called the filter of the blood of Christ.
Oh,
rose-colored. That's why they call it rose-colored. Yeah. Isn't that funny how that came into our language?
Yeah.
The color of blood.
If you look at other people through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, you can't find fault. If he's under the blood, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus
cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, the key to that, though, is if we walk in the light first.
Yes. And we did another show on this about being the fruit of the light is in all goodness,
righteousness, and truth.
I believe that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's a good thing my friends are here with me because I'm 65 years old and I've started to lose a few of those. Not totally lose them. I can think of them again. But I'm not as fast with them. Anyway, so we're going to go on now into personal relationship 7. We wanted to refresh the last one, and we're going to look at toward or onward, pros, towards, and hupo, under. Now, pros, onward or towards, what does that imply? Does it imply being static or motion?
It'd be like you're on offense in a game. You're always going forward.
There's motion, it looks like.
Involved. Motion
like,
forward.
Like yes. Repentance away from dead works, is there motion implied?
Yes, going away from.
In that preposition that's you're away, but it's with ever-increasing distance is time. If there's a time element in there, it's away from. And then here, it looks like there's a motion element towards something, and hupo, spelled U-P-O, under. So that'll be prepositions 9 and 10. Again, looking at our relationship with God. Now, this is another thing I wanted to introduce, that a preposition is not just a relationship as to position. It's also a time and space relationship to God. That's what a preposition really means. And you're starting to see that now, aren't you? It's not just a position now, like this is on it, this is under it, this is in it. It's also a time and space relationship if you look at prepositions right. And now I'm beginning to see this. Can you see it better too?
Oh, sure.
I didn't see it at first, but I'm a believer. I can see it. So we went through ek, out of, ice, into, dia, through, and we gave an example for each one. So you might go back to personal relations 1 and start at the beginning. How everything came out of God, we're to come back into him through Jesus, we're to be born up instead of born again, we are to repent and go away from dead works, we are to have faith upon God, the Holy Spirit used to be beside man, but now after the day of Pentecost, he's in man, and now we're going to look at toward number 9 and hupo number 10, Ephesians 2, 11 through 22.
Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once were far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, that through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit.
That's a great scripture. He calls us a temple of God?
Mm-hmm.
How does it say that, Andy? We are being built.
In whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit.
So this sounds like a different type of temple. One, in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it sounds like the group of believers here is being built together. The body of Christ is being built together into a temple, right?
Yes, that's an individual building of the individual, and then a gathering and building together of all of those things that he's building already.
So each individual, we are a temple, and our body, or the body of Christ, the group of believers, is a temple. Hmm. Now, what's interesting to me, we have three parts to us: spirit, soul, and body. Did you know that each cell in our body has three parts? It has the outside wall, then it's got the protoplasm, and then it's got the nucleus. And each part has an intelligence. The wall can sense and touch things and communicate with the nucleus and say, this looks yummy. This is a Big Mac.
And I was going to say bacon, but funny. Go ahead.
Bacon. Okay. It's a piece of bacon.
Cell bacon. Mm.
And it sends out a finger. The cell wall sends out a finger. And it senses that, and it talks to the nucleus. Then if it seems appropriate, it'll surround it and ingest that piece of bacon into itself. And each cell is way more complex than any city. The nucleus of every cell is way more complicated, way more sophisticated than the greatest computer on the face of the earth. Every cell is made up of three parts, like we are spirit, soul, and body. So each cell within us is made of three parts. We have a spirit, soul, and body. We are made of three parts. This tabernacle we're talking about has three parts. This goes on and on. And I've done some demonstrations on the website. You got to go see them. Go to creation, and I talk a little bit about the human cell, and it's mind-blowing. Did you know that we start off as one cell when we are conceived? Then conception, then a division. And within that one cell is a blueprint for its offspring to turn into heart muscle, liver, brain, muscle cells, bone, teeth, eyes, hair. It's all programmed into one cell. This marvelous thing that we have that came from the Creator Jesus is shown in this tabernacle. That as a group, you can be a tent. And it's not talking about a building, a church building. It's the body of believers. But we individually are temples of the Holy Spirit. And it says that how we were apart from God, we were separated from God, and now we are to come towards Him or onward towards God the Father. And we want to look at that preposition pros, P-R-O-S, that again shows a time-space relationship, that the opposite of going away from dead works. We talked about this before, and you were right on, Andy. Now, I didn't want to tell you, but you hit the nail on the head. Now we're going to talk about going towards the Father. As we go away from dead works, we keep approaching towards God, and we're going to use God's temple as the example.
You know, it's funny. People always want to know, I wonder what God wants me to do. And you just said two things. I want you to go away from this, and I want you to come over here. This is what I want you to do. It's not a hard answer.
What's the first thing Jesus told to Peter and Andrew when he saw them?
Come here.
And what's the next thing?
Follow me.
Two things. Come, follow me. So if time, space. So come, he's here, but I'm sure Jesus is just going to stand there, right?
He never did. He was always on the move.
He was on the move. And so from that day, they left their fishing nets and followed him. What did he do?
He kept doing the will of God, and he didn't sit still.
He was showing them what he was going to expect out of them, how to live. He was showing them the new life, and he says, not only what I do are you going to do, but greater.
Yeah, so, he said that. Greater works than these shall you do.
Yeah. Now, by using the temple, this is the interesting thing about this whole thing. You can draw a picture of a temple. The inside tent had two rooms in it, the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was, and then the holy place, the outside of that, and then there's a whole other tent around that called the courtyard, and again, three rooms. Draw the center of it, so we're the temple. We should have the Holy Spirit within us, then our soul in the holy place, and then our flesh in this courtyard. And then you could even draw outside of that. But let's look at this. Let's look at this tent of meeting as this being where God dwells, where people dwell around him, and they're always going to be around him. You can, from without that tent of meeting, all the way to the inside, you can locate every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth as to their relationship with God the Father. That is the neatest thing about this building, is you can tell exactly where you are with the Lord. If you are at his feet, the footstool of his feet, or if you're out to lunch. You can see all of it right here in this tabernacle. But now in Christ Jesus, you that once were far off are become near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the division between us, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, thus establishing peace, and he might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity, and he came and preached peace to those of you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. You see, we can be in either position, either far or near, because through him we have access in one spirit toward or onward to the Father. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.